Just remain standing and turn, if you will, in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Thank God for the precious name of Jesus. That name which is above every name, amen. That name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. I missed a couple of prayer requests I meant to have mentioned. Pray for Rick as he goes on back and they get his next part of schooling and training. The Lord would help there, bless there, and have His way. And then also pray for those that are not able to be with us. Pray for Miss Becky this morning. Pray for Houston and Kristen. I understand about their job situation. Pray that God would work in that. Amen. And turn that around and accomplish His will. Amen. Amen. Ruth chapter number 1, probably very, very, very familiar scripture. I want to read a few verses jumping around in chapter 1 and then go to chapter 4. And if you allow me, I'm going to read from chapter 1 and chapter 4. I'm going to comment on chapter 3 and I'm going to preach chapter 2. All right? And that's what I intend on doing this morning. Ruth chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. I say amen right there. Look at verse 22. Jump down to verse 22 of chapter 1. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Jump over to chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. I want to draw your attention especially to verse 9 and the phrase there. He said, ye are witnesses this day. Here's my phrase. I have bought. Amen. In verse 10, and moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, here's my phrase. Have I purchased? And I want to preach for a little while this morning on how Ruth came to be redeemed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for yes. prayer and allowing us to be able to come to the house of God this day. And I pray, thanking you for Sunday school hour and the good song service. And
yes.
And we just praise you and thank you for the Spirit of God and the presence of God. Pray and ask that you'll be with Brother Shepherd as he preaches.
Help us, Lord.
Would you place
yes.
upon his heart? Thank you, Lord, for the redemption found in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Pray and ask that you would move upon hearts and if there be one here that's not redeemed, that's not saved by thy grace, I pray that today will be the day that they'll move. And
yes.
the Lord accept you as our Savior. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank God for that prayer. Amen. Book of Ruth is a wonderful book. It's a beautiful book.
Amen.
It's a sweet book. It's probably, I expect, one of the sweetest and loveliest stories in all of the Bible. You can't read the book of Ruth without seeing sovereignty. I mean, it's just God is in control. In spite of the fact that it's the days when the judges ruled, no king in the land, there was a God on the throne. Amen. And you can't read it without seeing that. You see the symbolism, so much symbolism. in the book of Ruth. And I'll just throw these things out real quickly. And I've been preaching now on the radio. I preached for a week, a Wednesday to Wednesday, through on chapter number 1 of the book of Ruth. And then I just on Thursday and Friday started chapter 2. And this message is not a part of that. It's part of the book. It's not a part of that series that I'm preaching on the radio. But it's a thought that the Lord laid upon my heart last week. I actually preached this very thought at the homecoming at Vision on Sunday, and felt like it'd be the will of God to preach it again. I was hoping God would let me preach it sometime soon, and felt like that's what we would use this morning and be in the will of God doing it. But the book of Ruth shows us how a Moabitess woman is rescued from abject poverty and total depravity to a place of extreme wealth and acceptance and citizenship in the household of Israel, and even in the family of faith. She becomes grafted into the nation of Israel. She becomes an ancestor to King David and to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Amen. And when we see the story of this Moabitess Gentile woman, and how that God in mercy reached out to her and wooed her and won her into His side, when we see that, to many of us, this is a familiar story, because we recognize things that happened in our life when God began to deal with us and draw us to His side. Amen and amen. I want to, if I can, elaborate on that just a little bit and give you some blessed reminders that I might stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance what God did for you, how Jesus brought you out of darkness and into His marvelous light and into His marvelous love. Amen. And amen. Well, while studying this book some time ago, I noticed how that in chapter number 1, Naomi saw absolutely no hope for her daughters-in-law. She saw no hope for Ruth. She saw no hope for Orpah. Matter of fact, look back at verse number 6 of chapter 1. I want you to notice this. It jumped out at me. Verse 6 of chapter 1, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return. Not that they might return. That she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited, and this is important, His people in giving them bread. She saw no hope for Orpah or Ruth because they were not His people. They were outside of the nation of Israel, outside the promises of God. And it appears to me that Naomi had a glimmer of hope for herself in Israel, but none whatsoever for her daughters-in-law. Now, when you read this text and see, and I skipped over this part, but you know that both these daughters-in-laws agreed to go back with Naomi. They both attempted to go back with Naomi. They both essayed to go back with Naomi, but Orpah was convinced not to. Orpah was convinced to turn around and go back into heathen darkness, where she disappeared from the pages of sacred writ. We'll see her never again in the pages of the Word of God. And I don't know that she ever got saved. I don't know how she could have in that heathen darkness that she returned to. But Naomi gave that advice and said, you ought to turn around and go back to your fathers. She hugged her in weeping, and she convinced her to turn around and go back. You know why? Because Naomi saw no hope for Orpah. Now, one of the reasons she saw no hope, and I don't have time to tarry here long, but one of the reasons she saw no hope was because she could not see past herself. She said, I have no sons that could be your husbands. And if I were to have a husband myself today and were to conceive tonight, she said, would you stay from having husbands until my sons be grown that they might be your husbands? In other words, she saw no hope for Orpah and no hope for Ruth because she saw nothing past herself. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when people are out of the will of God, they have a very limited scope of what they can see. They don't see past their own nose. They don't see past their own self. They see no hope for anybody else because they see very little hope for themselves in their present circumstances. Amen. But something happened in chapter number 2 that gave Naomi some hope. Amen. In chapter number 2, there is a drastic change in Naomi's outlook. What happened? The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. Now, Brother Steve mentioned to me that he read somewhere in his studying in the book of Judges and studying up there about Gideon, that some Bible scholars at least place Ruth and that leaving of Elimelech, those 10 years that he stayed in Moab, they place that in the frame of the 7 years of the destruction of the Midianites in Israel, that God raised up Gideon to move them out, destroy them, and gave them the victory. But in that time there was drought, in that time there was famine, and some say that that was the time when Elimelech left and was there while Gideon took place and the victory took place. And by the way, that you've got all that about barley. So much in there about barley in the story of Gideon. And when Ruth and Orpah show up in Bethlehem, when Ruth and Naomi show up in Bethlehem, it is at the beginning of barley harvest. There's bread on the table. Amen. There's bread for the Gideon. Look in verse number 1 of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to lie on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now look at verse 17 real quickly, and I'm giving my thought and I'll give you my points. All right. He said, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was an ephah of barley. Now, Naomi and Ruth come back from the distance of Moab. They came back from the destruction of Moab. They come back from the death of Moab. They come to the land and there's bread on the table. And Ruth goes out there and gleans, and God allows her to glean an abundant supply. She comes back with an ephah of barley after it's beat out. An ephah, they tell me, is 10 omers of barley. And the Bible, when God was giving out manna, you know how many omers of manna a man could eat in a day? One. So Ruth's got 10 days supply for a working man. And this is for her and her mother-in-law. Amen. She's got 10 days supply in one day of gleaning. Listen, those gleaners, they didn't go out there and harvest the fields. They just picked up the pieces and the parts that was dropped, that was trodden over, that was left behind. And so although God had provided them something that would sustain them, it was not anything they could get rich on. It was not anything they could build a supply of. It would just barely get them from one day to another. But Ruth gathers plenteous, and in her gathering of plenteous, Naomi eats bread. Something happened when Naomi got back to the house of bread and praise and had her first meal at the table of the Lord. Amen. All of a sudden, she saw hope for somebody else. Amen. Amen. And so I got to thinking about how that her outlook changed. Amen. And in the following verses 19 through 22, Naomi began to praise Boaz for his generosity. She spoke to Ruth how she needed to stay close to Boaz. Amen. Amen. Boaz was not in her vocabulary down in the country of Moab. But sitting at the house of bread and praise and eating from the bread from the table, all of a sudden she gets to praising Boaz. Amen. And tells Ruth to stay close by him. Then in chapter 3, verse number 1, and then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And so she starts talking to her about how that Boaz is kindred, how that Boaz could be the kinsman redeemer, how that Boaz not only has the means, but he might have the heart. Praise God, bring this straggler and stranger in. Amen. And so she starts seeing hope for Ruth. Amen. And that blessed my heart when I saw the change in Naomi's behavior and outlook. But I got to thinking about, when did Ruth see hope? What happened in Ruth's life that caused her to come to be redeemed? Now, by way of introduction, I'm going to preach from chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, and then I'll let you go. All right. But let me give you, by way of introduction, before I get there, I want you to think about Ruth this. There's three things about Ruth's life that we see in chapter number 1. Number 1, remember, Ruth comes from a condemned people. She's a Moabite. The Moabites were a product of the incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. It was a bad, bad, bad situation. Ruth's a part of that. But not only was the Moabites, that was their ancestry, and then they became the descendants of that. But Moab was an enemy to God and an enemy to the people of God. And so God cursed Moab, and he said for 10 generations they're not allowed to come into the house of Israel. They're not allowed to come into the people of Israel. God cursed them. She was of a condemned family and a condemned race. By the way, that's where you and I were when Jesus found us. Amen. We are part of the Adamic race. Amen. We were condemned in the fall of Adam. We were condemned in the family of Adam. Amen. And yet God had mercy on us. Thank God. She was not only a condemned family, but number two, there was a contention there. As I said, they were at enmity with God. They were enemies of God. They had their own false God. They had their own way of living. They were not going to submit to the God of Israel. And again, that's where we were. But you see, Ruth not only born in a condemned family, not only having contention with God, but the third thing, you notice that one day this condemned sinner made a choice. That's the point that I want to really deal with. She made a choice. She said, when Naomi said, you ought to go back, Ruth said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to my people. I'm not going back to my gods. That's what Ruth had told her to do. She said, I'm going with you, and your people are going to become my people. And your God is going to become my God. Amen. And so she started in the right direction, and she followed Naomi, thank God, and came to that place. Now, here's where we're at. In the house of God, when sinners come into the house of God, they are in the condemned race. They are fallen children of Adam. By the way, they are of the family of Adam and not the family of God. Amen. And they need something in their life. But if they come into that family, or they come into that setting, they get around people that are not at enmity with God. They get around people that are not at hatred of God and filled with the animosity towards God. But rather they get among people that love God, amen, serve God, brag on God, amen, and shine their light for God. And all of a sudden something starts happening. I believe a spiritual hunger starts developing in them. They recognize the void and the need in their heart. Amen. And God uses that to start working on bringing them to Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, having said that, I've got 7 thoughts. I don't have points. I don't have, you know, statements that I can make. I've just got 7 things I read and stop and give you these thoughts as I go. Verse number 1 is my first one. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, I want you to listen to this and think about this. I know you know the book of Ruth inside out, probably. But I want you to think about this just simple thought. Boaz is first mentioned, chapter 2, verse 1. First mentioned. But he was there before he was mentioned. Boaz was in Bethlehem all the time that Naomi was in Moab. Boaz was in Bethlehem all the time that Ruth grew up, was born, raised, grew up in Moab. Amen. Before Naomi ever mentioned Boaz, he was there. Before Ruth ever heard about Boaz, he was there. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ was in his house before you or I came along. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was there before we ever heard the good news. The Lord Jesus was there before anybody ever told us about Him. Amen. I'm glad He was there and is there. Amen. He's in the church before anyone ever mentioned Him to us. Amen. Or before we knew about Him. Secondly, the thing I want you to notice about verse 1, and this is still my first stop. Boaz was related to Naomi, not to Ruth. And notice it. The Bible's plain. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. So it just keeps him. He's kin to Naomi. He's kin to Elimelech. Of course, that's how he's kin to Naomi, through Elimelech. But he's not related to Ruth in that aspect. I'm going to tell you, there are people in the house of God who do have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there are people in the house of God who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They are not a part of the household of faith. They are not a part of the family of God. Amen. They are not in relationship with him. Second thing I want you to notice, look at chapter 2 and verse number 2 and 3. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to lie on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, Ruth and Naomi were poor widows. They were probably hungry for bread. Amen. They were probably hungry from their journey and hungry from their trip. Amen. We went down last night. By the way, let me just throw this in. We went down to Burns, Tennessee with Brother Moyes, was in the service there. Brother Sidney Blue preached, had a good time. Sister Amanda and Josh rode with us. Brother Joshua and Miss Stephanie Hunt, they rode behind us and in front of us. We took turns different ways. But they was in front of us going down. They was behind us coming back. We got down there and there's a missionary talking. He thought they were our children. Amen. Which they're about that age. I'll be honest with you, about the age of our children. And that was what I told him. I said, I guess we're just going to have to adopt them. Amen. Amen. But the point I was going to make, we stopped to eat on the way down there and back. That's the Baptist way to do it, amen. Eat, coming and going, amen. But sometimes a trip makes you hungry. I said that in a little bit funny, but Ruth and Naomi have made a trip. They're widows. They don't have means, and they're hungry. Perhaps Ruth had heard about God's gracious supply, His support system to take care of poor widows, amen. How that He allowed them to glean in the fields after the reaping was done. As I said earlier, they were to go out and gather the parts. God taught His people. Now listen, this is important. God told His people, don't you be stingy, don't you be greedy and gather everything and clean the fields out. He said, you leave something for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Amen. And He said, if you drop something, don't go back to get it. Leave it for somebody else. But He also said to the strangers, fatherless, and widows, He did not say, you sit there waiting for a check in the mail. He said, you get them, go out and get what you can get. Amen. Amen. And so they were to glean. As I said before, they're not harvesting, they're not reaping, but they're gleaning in the fields. And so they would barely get enough to make it, but they could get enough to make it. Ruth apparently had heard about that somewhere, and she asked Naomi in chapter 2 and verse number 2 if she could go and glean in the field. She thought it was a good idea, and she asked her mother-in-law, did she think it was a good idea to go see if she could find some nourishment from a gracious farmer, amen, that might show grace to her need. Now listen to this. Don't you go thinking you deserve something from God, but you ought to get to the place you recognize maybe God would bless me. Maybe God would be good to me. Maybe I can find grace at the hand of God. Amen. Amen. We're living in a day when people think it's owed to them. That's sad. I said this the other day. That's right. The only thing we deserve is hell. That's the only thing we could rightly say we deserve. But by the grace of God, we don't get hell. Amen. By the grace and the mercy of God, we can escape hell and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and go to heaven. Amen. 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 But Ruth asked Naomi if she might be able to go get some. She recognized her need of grace. She saw a physical need in her life, and she recognized that it would be grace. It would be a spiritual thing for God to grant that. Amen. Now let me say this before I move on. It is good for sinners to come to church because there they are exposed to the spiritual bread. Amen. Out there in the world, all they hear is worldliness. All they see is worldliness. All they know is worldliness. Amen. At the house of God, they ought not see worldliness. Say amen right there. They ought not hear worldliness. Amen. They ought not experience worldliness. They ought to know something about spirituality at the house of God. Amen. Amen. They ought to know something about spirituality, be exposed to that maybe for the first time, that it might develop in them a spiritual appetite. Amen. And that'd be something they never had out in the world. Again, while in church, surrounded by the people of God, all of a sudden it's not people cursing God, not in the right church, by the way. They're not cursing God nor people. Amen. If it's the right kind of church, they're not cursing God. They're not blaspheming God. They're not running God's name in the ground, but they're uplifting the name of the Lord Jesus. They're bowing at His name. They're bragging on His name. Amen. And they're telling what God did in their life. Amen. And all of a sudden, that sinner might develop a spiritual appetite. Let me give you the third thing, verses 4 through 7. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said, and by the way, there's somebody else came from Bethlehem, wasn't there? Boaz came from Bethlehem. David came from Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus came from Bethlehem. Amen. Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless thee." And they got a lot to be said right there. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reaper, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, and he's repeating what she said, and she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. So you see that Boaz took notice of Ruth and her actions. Amen. Now, in our analogy of Boaz symbolizing Christ, Bethlehem symbolizing the house of God, Ruth symbolizing the sinner that needs redemption, we know that Christ knows all about us. Boaz said, "Who is this?" Our Lord don't ever have to say, "Who is that?" Amen. When our Lord was walking through Jericho and there was a fellow up a sycamore tree, our Lord didn't have to say, "Who is that?"
Right.
Amen. He said, "That's Zacchaeus." One preacher said this, I believe it, Brother Goosby, the other night. He said this. He said the Lord knew who he was and which limb he is on. Amen. I'm glad that's right. Our Lord knows all about us. Ain't no use to try to hide. No use to try to hypocrite. Amen. He knows all about us. We know that. But in our story, we see that Boaz took notice and paid special attention to her in the field. I am convinced that sinners can go a lot of places and do a lot of things. And although God sees them and God notices what they're doing, God does not take special note of them like He would if they're in the house of God. Amen. When they start taking a step towards right and towards God, I believe it perks up the ears of God, if I could say it that way. Amen. It allows Him to take special notice of those that are in the field that belongs to Jesus. Amen. I'll say more about that in a moment. Look at verse 8. This is my fourth stop. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." There in the right field, at the right place, at the right time, Boaz spoke to Ruth. I remember the day when the Lord spoke to me, don't you? He don't just speak at the house of God. He can speak a lot of places, but it was in the house of God the Lord spoke to me. Matter of fact, it was in a Sunday school room when God really worked me over, if I could say it that way. First time I ever remember knowing that I, as a sinner, going to hell, knew something needed to be done about it. We was in revival meeting at Chestnut Grove Independent Baptist Church. That was 1974. Either the fall of 73 or the spring of 74. I got saved in June of 74. And by the way, that is the fifth Sunday in June. It won't be all that long now. That'll be 41 years ago by the grace of God. Amen. But in that service, God spoke to me. I knew I was a sinner. But I remember times laying on my bed when Mom be reading me and my brother a bedtime story. We was getting ready to have prayer. And God speaking to my heart again about my lost condition, telling me I couldn't even pray because I didn't know God. Amen. And then that Sunday morning in Sunday school when God wrung me out. Amen. God hung me out over hell. And I felt like I was going to go to hell that day if I didn't get saved. Amen. Boaz spoke to Ruth. He informed her of the proper actions she needed to take in order to gain the supply she was seeking for. Amen. To fill her hunger. Amen. To satisfy her need. Amen. Amen. Second thing to notice in this same text, Boaz gave Ruth an offer and a warning in the scriptures that I read, verses 8 and 9. He gave her an offer and a warning. The warning was, don't go to any other field. Amen. The warning was, don't get out of this field. The warning was, stay in this field. Now, that's a warning. And the offer is implied. The offer is implied that if you stay in my field, you'll get all you need. Amen. The offer is implied that I've got an abundant supply and I can meet your need in my field. You don't need another field. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to say this. I say this especially to sinners, but to saints. If you want Jesus to speak to you, you'd be advised to stay in His field. I'm talking about the house of God. Amen. By the way, be careful about missing. I realize things happen and sometimes we have to miss. But it ought not be an easy thing for us to miss. Amen. It ought not be an easy thing. It ought to be a drastic thing, amen, for us to miss the house of God and be out of the field, out of our place. Because if you want God to speak to you, if you want God to help you, you ought to be in His field. I believe that is the house of God, amen. I say this, He can speak in other places, but He's not as likely to speak in other places as He is at the house of God, amen. Amen. God has chosen to speak through the preaching of the Word of God. That's how He's chosen to speak to us. Amen. Amen. God, I believe, also speaks through the saints of God. Amen. I see that right here in the Scriptures. God instructs His saints through the preaching of the Word of God, and God draws sinners through the preaching of the Word of God. When the Bible is preached properly, there will be both a warning and an offer. Amen. Listen, it'll never help a sinner until they recognize they are a sinner, until they recognize they have a need. Amen. Brother Billy Mitchell said, nobody's interested in a pardon until they are convicted and found guilty. And then all of a sudden, a pardon looks pretty appealing. Amen. Amen. But preaching ought not just condemn the sinner. It ought to convict the sinner and point them to Calvary and point them to the cross where there is hope for the sinner. Amen. There'll be both the warning and the offer in the preaching of the Word of God. I believe that's right. Amen. But in the house of God, there's not only the influence of the Bible, but as I said a moment ago, there's the influence of the saints of God. Here's what Boaz said. Ruth, look at verse 8, last phrase. Neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Now, those were not other wives. He didn't have another wife, I don't believe. Those were women that labored in His. They were servants of His. They were His servants. They were His people, if you want to say it that way, in His household. And He said to her, you stay with them. Look at verse 9 now. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Amen. Listen, these women He's talking about are not gleaners. They're reapers. Amen. By the grace of God, those of us that belong to the house of God, we don't just get scraps. We don't just get crumbs. Every now and then, He'll fetch us personal bread, amen. He'll fetch us a loaf of bread, amen. And bless us abundantly and extensively by His mighty hand. And He said, you watch them. You watch them. Let me keep reading verse number 9. Boy, this is good if you'll stay with me. He said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. You follow them. You watch them. And you follow them. Have not I charged young men that they touch not, and when thou art thirsty, or when thou art thirsty. Now listen to this. He said, if you'll keep your eyes on my people, you'll get thirsty. I believe that's right. We're supposed to be salt, ain't we? We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be something that produces maybe it stings when it gets in a burn. Amen. Maybe it stings when it gets in the eyes, but it's something that produces a thirst. It's something that produces a longing, and it's something that gives you what you need in your body. Amen. You do need sodium. You need some salt in your body. And so He's saying here, if you'll keep your eyes on my maidens and you watch them, they'll lead you in the right way. Song of Solomon, when she said, where are you going to be? Where? And He said, if you don't know where I am, He said, you follow the footsteps of the flock. You remember that? I'm telling the child of God ought to be living in such a way that people can follow you and go with you, and you'll take them in the right direction. Amen. 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 I believe God's given you some people to follow, and you ought to follow them. Keep your eyes on them, and they'll lead you in the right direction. Amen. I believe it's symbolic of the influence and the fellowship of the saints. Even sinners get help among the gracious blessings that the children of Israel, or the children of God, enjoy. Amen. For example, that song that Sister Jennifer sang just a few minutes ago, that ought to encourage even a lost person. That God's in control of the storm. God's in control of the water. God's able to help us. We don't have to worry and we don't have to fear. Amen. Amen. I told Brother Steve, this is another funny thing, I'll just drop it out and move on. I told Brother Steve, a fellow told me this week, called me, asked about a question. He told me something Brother Lane Rourke told his people. He told his people, he said, that statistics prove that 95% of what we worry about never happens. And so that proves worrying works. If it means worrying about it makes it not happen. Amen. No, worrying don't work. You're worrying about something you don't need to worry about. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. Well, here's my note now, and I'm going to move off this point and get to my fifth one in a moment. But the warning here to this woman by Boaz is you stay in the right field. That, you know, why did he say that? Because he knew the temptation that the grass might look greener in another field. Amen. He said, you stay in the right field. You stay where you're supposed to be. Boaz wished to be gracious to Ruth. He wanted to help Ruth. Listen, in my pastorate at Vision, there have been people that left that I wanted to help. I wept after them, tried my best to help them. But when they're gone, I can't help them. And it's never been my policy to chase them. Amen. It's not been my policy, because I believe when you study the Scripture, that prodigal son went out on his own in rebellion, and the father never left the father's house. He stayed there and dealt with his son that needed his help, by the way, that did stay there. Amen. Amen. And I believe that if somebody in their rebellion, they decide to go, but I'll tell you what it'll do. I'll weep over them and I'll pray for them. And if they'll return, I'll do like the father did, and I'll rejoice with them when they return. Amen. But Boaz said, don't get your eyes on another field. Don't even look over there. Keep your eyes on this field and follow the ones in this field. Amen. Number 5, Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. And there's something in that verse 9 about when you get thirsty. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot right there. I wish I could dig it out. I wish I could pull it out. And there's something special about that well at Bethlehem. Remember that? You remember David? Woo! Amen. David out yonder running from Saul. And he said, oh, I'd like to have water from the well of Bethlehem. Amen. Woo! Oh, me. Verse number 10. Verse number 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Ruth humbled herself toward Boaz. Ruth admitted what she was. She admitted who she was and what she was. She did not feel worthy of the attention of Boaz. Now, real quick, I'll make this statement. I'm going to move on. Ruth is introduced to the book, chapter 1, as a Moabitess. Ruth is introduced to Bethlehem. They said, is this not the Moabitess woman that came with Ruth? I mean, with Naomi out of Moab. She's introduced to Boaz as the Moabitess. You'll never come to Christ unless you come to Him as a sinner. That's the only way He'll accept you. That's the only way He'll receive you, is if you come recognizing you're a sinner and admitting you're a sinner. She admitted to Boaz, I am not of your people. I am a stranger. We'll see that again. Look at verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the day of thine husband, or since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Look at this. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. She'd already been noticing those handmaids. She'd already noticed the difference, that she wasn't like them. That there's something missing in her life. She didn't have what they had. She couldn't glean like they was gleaning. Amen. All of a sudden, she's already noticed that there's a difference between her and them. Amen. I believe it was right there, in the presence of the Redeemer. Noticing the difference of His handmaids, that she began to think, maybe there might be hope for me. Woo, amen. Amen. I remember when I began to hunger for the things of God. I remember when I wanted the peace that other people had. I wanted the joy that other people seemed to have. Amen. I wanted that grace, the graces that I saw exhibited in them. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, when I was a sinner, at Chestnut Grove Independent Baptist Church, there was a number of people there, and now I know there's people there that were hypocrites. But then I didn't know that. I didn't see their hypocrisy. I saw the grace of God in people's lives. I saw those people that were real. Let me throw this out. One real person can outshine a house full of hypocrites. I believe that. Amen. If you'll be real, it can override a house full of hypocrites. Amen. Just let your light shine. Their darkness will be excluded, and your light will keep on shining. Amen. Amen. But I began to notice some people had something. Amen. And I remember when I longed for that, I hungered for that, God began to work in me. And I got in the presence of the Redeemer. Amen. And I got to noticing the difference between me and them. And God birthed hope in my life. Faith began to work. Amen. Amen. My last thing, verses number 14 through 16. Let me stop just a minute to go back and say this. Only Jesus can graft you into the family of God. Boaz was the only one that could do it. There's somebody else that was nearer to kin, but he said, I'm not able to do it. Amen. Only Jesus can graft you in. Look at verse 14. Now then, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Whew. Listen, here, I can't read the rest of it yet. I got to say something. Boaz said, you think it's good out here in the field? You wait till you get at the meal table. If you think it's good drinking this water from Bethlehem, you wait till you're dipping your morsel in the vinegar. Amen. Beside my reapers. He said, and at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. Amen. And left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. That's where they're reaping at now. This ain't picking up the scraps. He said, you let her get up there where the good stuff's at. Amen. You let her up on the front row. That's what he's saying. Amen. You let her up there where there's something that she can grasp and get something good for her soul. Amen. And reproach her not. Verse 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Amen. Three things I want to say about this. These three verses. Boaz, he's introduced himself. He has asked the question about who Ruth is. He notices her. He questions about her. He goes to her and introduces himself to her. He offers her a warning and an offer to supply her need. And he said, keep your eyes now on my maidens, and when you get thirsty, go get you some drink. I've got water for you. That's what he was saying. I've got enough to provide for you. And then he offers her even more intimate fellowship. He offers her even more blessings at his table. Amen. I'm telling you, I've been in the house of God when I thought I was going to bust. Amen. But then find out there's more on the table than I thought there was on the table. Amen. Come back again and find out there's even more there again. Amen. I'm glad our God is able to spread a table in the wilderness. Amen. Our God is able to set a table in the midst of our enemies. Amen. And He's able to feed those that hunger after Him. Amen. He offered her satisfaction for her hunger. He offered her supply for her need. And he offered her extra sweetness for her taste. Amen. When he fetched her that parched corn. Amen. By the way, that's exactly what Jesus offers sinners. He will feed your spiritual hunger. He will pay your spiritual debt. And he'll bless you with blessings in abundance. Amen. If you'll only heed his warnings and accept his offer. Second thing I want you to notice about these verses, Boaz commanded his servants, this is verse 15, he commanded his servants to give Ruth some extra blessings and encouragement. These servants, I believe, represent the preachers of the Word of God. Preachers and teachers. He said, she's getting hungry, you feed her. The Bible talked about this. It says that our job as a pastor is to feed the flock of God. Amen. Our job's not necessarily to entertain you. Amen. Our job's not necessarily to pamper you, but our job is to feed you. Amen. And in that feeding, that food's only good for people that are hungry. You ever tried to feed somebody that wasn't hungry? It's full of junk food and they wasn't hungry and nothing satisfies them. Yeah. Amen. But when somebody's hungry, most near anything will satisfy them. Amen. 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 Boaz commanded his servants to give Ruth some extra blessings and encouragement. And God gives his servants instructions to give the hungering soul extra blessings, extra encouragements through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And then, number three, the last thing, these extra blessings, they were handfuls of purpose. He said in verse 16, "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Now these extra blessings, these handfuls of purpose, were granted for Ruth's taking. But for her to get them, she had to bend down. She had to clutch them to her bosom. And she had to take them home.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus calls to sinners, but He won't drag you down the aisle. He won't shove salvation down your throat. He'll offer you blessings, but you must bend the knee, bow the head, call on the Lord while He may be found. Let's stand to our feet. You must grasp the blessings to your chest and your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on Him today. While we sing and while we have an invitation time, I wonder if the Lord may have spoke to your heart. You're in the field. Thank God you're here. Amen. There's hope for people that'll come and hear the Word of God. There's hope. You're here. You're in the field. Boaz, I believe the Lord Jesus has shown up. Amen. The Lord Jesus is interested in drawing sinners. He's interested in blessing saints. He's interested in feeding hungry folk. Amen. If you have a need, He'll meet your need if you'll only trust Him. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for this wondrous story. And the blessings, Lord, that sweep over our soul when we remember where we were. When You spoke to us. When You sparked a hunger. When You satisfied the hunger of our soul. Lord, I long to see that in the people of God. I long to see that in our relatives and our loved ones. I long to see that in this congregation. Oh, dear God, create a hunger in us. You said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Oh, dear God, make us hungry for the things of God. Lord, let us shine as Your people that others might see our life and hunger after the peace and the joy that we have. They might know the same God that we know. Lord, I pray use this invitation time. Have Your way. Please help people to respond according to Thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. While we sing
161,
would You do business with the Lord?